I am Piero Lumumba here at the Thika Blue Post. Behind me is the very impressive Chania Falls. We are in Kiambu County in the Republic of Kenya, here in our mother continent of Africa. And today we talk about something that should be significant to all of us, the courage to speak out. Whenever I've been asked the question, why do you think it is important to speak out? I've always gone throughout the traditions. I've been spiritual at once, philosophical at once, and I refer to those who talk about speaking. I tell them, if you look at African traditions in their diversity, they encourage people to speak out against evil, to speak out to ensure that the weak are protected, to speak out whenever there was danger. That was true of Africa. When I read Hindu mythology and I read Hindu epics such as the Mahabharata and the Ramayana, and I see what they are saying, speak out when there is evil around you. When you talk about Christianity or you talk about Judaism, they say in the beginning there was the word. So the word is important. When you go to Islam, the very first word that are uttered by the Prophet Muhammad is Ikra, read. And when you talk about Buddhism, it is read. So throughout the ages, those who have changed society and influenced society are those who have had the courage to speak up. You know, many times I wonder when it is said in English that silence is golden. When is it golden? Is it golden when you keep silent in the face of tyranny? And when I talk about tyranny, I remember a book that was written by Wole Soyinka when he was in detention. The title may be rendered differently, but what I remember in its shortened form, that the man dies in silence who remained silent in the face of tyranny. And as a young history student, I also became aware of a German priest called Martin Niemöller. And he posed the question. He told those who are silent during the Nazi period, he said, when they came for the Jews, I said nothing because I was not a Jew. When they came for the communists, I said nothing because I was not a communist. When they came for the trade unionists, I said nothing because I was not a trade unionist. When they came for me, there was nobody to say anything. And that aphorism by Martin Niemöller has become so significant in energizing us to speak up whenever there is any danger, or to speak up in defense of what society wants to be done. I remember a long time ago as a young student, because one of my greatest claims to fame is that I write letters in addition to speaking. And I was looking at some of the letters that I wrote. One of them is a letter that is dated the first day of July, 1983. I was a university student and I wrote to the then head of state. At that time, a lot of people were being arrested for being anti-government. And this is what I said. Your Excellency, do not detain people, because one day when you detain them for doing nothing, they will claim to be heroes and they will become the leaders of misleaders of our country. And today when I look at our country, those individuals now point to their detention as their greatest claim to fame. I've continued to write and to communicate consistently and to speak up consistently. And I remember a very iconic thing about speaking up. This was on the ninth day of December 1984. I was a student and I was in Tanzania. And I spoke up in the presence of the then Tanzanian head of state, Julius Kambarage Nyerere. And from that day on, he told his workers in his office, get that young man who has spoken from Kenya. And until he died, he became my friend because I spoke up. And another incident happened in the same country, when I was, ironically, and paradoxically invited at the University of Dar es Salaam in Tanzania to deliver the Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Memorial Lecture. And after I had given the talk, during my conversation, there was a new president at that time called John Joseph Pombe Magufuli. And in the course of my discussion, I said, the time has come for Africa to magulify. And I was creating a new word because Magufuli had said, among other things, that we must run our own affairs. As I was driving to the airport, somebody rang me from his office and said, the president wants to meet you. I told him, I'm going back to Nairobi. He said, we are talking to the ambassador in Nairobi. Can you see the president tomorrow? And the following day, I was meeting the President Magufuli at the State House in Dar es Salaam. Speaking out without fear is something that makes you save situation. But speaking out must also be from a responsible standpoint. You don't speak out at all times. I think discretion is very important. It is Mahatma Gandhi who said, whenever you are speaking to authority, speak with the firmness that will open their eyes, not with the arrogance that will inflame their anger. And I have done this consistently, and I tell my young people across the continent of Africa, speak out, speak with authority. And over the years, and as I grow older, I hope I'm becoming wiser. One of the things that I've learned is that when I'm speaking to people in authority, the first thing that I do is that I write them privately. There is not a single African head of state who has never received a letter from me on this or that matter. I write privately, so in my view, it demonstrates to you that it is not about personal glory, but it's about the desire to correct. A few of them respond, a few of them have since become my friend, a few of them have become my enemies, and I've been denied entry in one or two African countries because of some of the things that I said or some of the things that it was feared I would say. But invariably, when one speaks out and speaks responsibly about issues, one becomes an educator. I can make the claim now that I've traveled across the continent of Africa. I think I've visited every African country except Sao Tome and Principe. And my experience in those countries is that the word is powerful. The word is powerful because when you go to those areas, you discover that what you said has been translated. I was amazed that what we say here on RT is being watched in Nicaragua and in Cuba and in Morocco and in Algeria. And I've gone to spaces where I'm told, we listen to you in Havana, we listen to you in Nicaragua, we listen to you in El Salvador, we listen to you in Algiers, which means that one who is a speaker of the word must also be very careful about what they say. I think it is in the Soviet Union, this may be apocryphal, that Vladimir Lenin used to say that if you do not know, then you have no right to speak. And the wisdom of that is that anybody who wants to speak must speak from a standpoint of knowledge. Do not say what you do not know. Do not say what you have not researched. Do not say what you cannot back with evidence. The same was also repeated by Chairman Mao Zedong in 1949 when he told people that he who says and he or she who knows and cannot summarize it in 3 minutes knoweth not. And I have held the view that when one is going to be a speaker of the word, it is incumbent upon him or her to understand his environment, to appreciate his environment, and to read. And reading is one of the things that the speaker of the word loves most. Read even that which you do not like. I've debated with people on Islam because I take time to read the Quran, I read the Hadiths. I've debated with people on Hindu philosophy because I read the Vedas. I've debated with people on Christianity and its origin because I take time to read. I've debated with people on history because I take time to read. But one of the things that I've learned over the years, when you are a speaker of the word, you must have a teachable spirit. You must know that there are things that you do not know. Giving meaning to that statement that is attributed to Socrates, when the oracle went out to find out who was the wisest man in Greece, they came out and said it was Socrates, because Socrates said, the only thing that I know is that I know nothing. And when you say that you know nothing, it gives you the appetite to seek. You are a permanent seeker of knowledge. And when you seek knowledge, you find it. And when you find it, it opens your eyes. And when it opens your eyes, it opens your mind. And when it opens your mind, it opens your heart. And when it opens your heart, it opens your spirit. And when it opens your spirit, you perceive the world and the universe in a totally different way. And you begin to appreciate the diversity of humanity. Recently, I've been debating with South Africans when they have been dealing with the issue of xenophobia or Afrophobia. And people wrote to me, some of them very angry. And I responded to no less than 20 letters in writing with detail. And ultimately, we have become friends with some of them. On the question of race, I've debated people on racism in South Africa, and I end up telling them, but have you read? Have you read what Robert Sobukwe said in 1960? And he said, and I told them, go and fact check me. When he was told about racism, he said, there is only one race, the human race. And all these, and even confidence, comes to any person who is ready to speak. Ultimately, we have a duty to speak. We have a duty to speak and to speak responsibly. We have a duty to speak and speak when it is necessary to speak. One must choose what one says when and where. You don't shout fire in a crowded room. You don't say things that don't exist. You don't say things that you cannot back. You don't say things that you do not believe in. You don't say things that degrade others. You say things that are wedded to your heart, wedded to your conscience, and you ask yourself whether those things are beneficial to humanity and society. And when you do so, you attract both friends and foe alike. But is that not the reality? But ultimately, speak. Because to speak is to prevent evil. To speak is to condemn evil. And to speak is to create awareness. And to speak is to create knowledge. And to speak is to spread knowledge. And to speak is to correct. Thank you very much. Our conversations regarding the continent of Africa and things related to our continue apace, but we'll see you next time. You are welcome that next time. Thank you.